1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Our focus is the Fish of Roseburg, the Fish Food Pantry, a new executive director. We'll introduce him in just a moment. Nis Jessett is a board president. I guess, Nis, let's start with you and just kind of freshen people up on an overview of what Fish of Roseburg is, how long the organization's been around, that kind of thing.
It's been around a long time. In fact, during COVID, should have celebrated our 50th anniversary of Fish. We're coming up on 51, and we plan to have a celebration of that in a couple months, and as the weather gets nicer, and we can do some of that. But it's been around a long time. We're an emergency food pantry. Primarily, the people that come are from close to Roseburg, but they can come from anywhere in Douglas County, and we'll take care of them.
So how long have you been on the board?
I've lost count. It's probably at least a dozen years. I've been board president for the last four, but it's been the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life, so proud to be part of it.
So talk about the process that went into getting a new executive director.
Our previous director had been here for 6 years, and that was Kim Turner. But she fought cancer and beat it. And about the time she recovered from that, her mom had some severe health problems, and so she retired to do that. And we began looking for a new director, and we just happened to have excellent timing and get our new director, and he started January 4th and has hit the floor running, and very excited to have him here.
And David Graham is his name. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
So talk about a little bit about your background.
So I come out of the world of food. My background's been in all aspects of food services, management, and consulting. Oregon has been always part of my life. My father was born and raised here. I came out of California, came back up here to actually care for him. He lived in Sutherland for about 20 years. Ultimately, at 93, too old to take care of himself, so I came down and had him move in with me, tended to him. He passed away in Thanksgiving of last year, so at that point, it was an opportunity for me to start looking at how I could take what I learned in my background and in my career and kind of pay it forward, finding some place that I could feel like I could do a good contribution, and stumbled upon the opportunity here at Fish. Saw a perfect opportunity to take the skills and talents I had and put them to work in a community that I felt just had a great opportunity to grow with. So that's what brought me here. And my background tied with what the Fish does, as I just mentioned, it's an emergency feeding services, and that's an area that I'd been involved in. Again, if you go back to when COVID started, one of my jobs was to work within the states and the federal agencies for emergency feeding programs for at-risk families. So I had an opportunity to go through any hotspot that COVID was breaking out in the states and spend time and help them develop food programs. And I think that helped inform me a lot about how I could come here and contribute to what Fish is doing.
How did you ever get involved or get interested in the food area to begin with?
Hunger. When you're going to school and you're looking for something to eat other than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I found that kitchens worked pretty well to feed you. So really was just a passion that developed through my childhood. I think my mom, obviously from the sort of generosity in the way that she styled her food and fed people, brought me into it for an interest and became fascinated with the business and found a niche that I ultimately was able to contribute quite a bit too. So, it was an interesting ride.
And I understand you have some involvement with restaurants, too.
Yes. Down in, actually, Medford, Oregon, I owned and operated a restaurant down there called 38 Central. And it was a great opportunity for me to again, kind of build on what I saw growing in Oregon. And when my father, or my, actually, I'm sorry, my mother became ill, I actually had to sell my business to my staff, and I moved to Texas to take care of her. So my path followed both of my parents, and I was fortunate enough to have that ability to be with each of them and kind of help them through their last stages, and at the same time still be able to kind of continue with what I wanted to do.
How long did you have the restaurant in Medford?
8 years. 8 years. It was a great opportunity. If you know the Rogue Valley, the wine industry was blossoming. I come out of Napa, California, and so wine and food were always, again, part of my world, and saw that there was an advantage here that Oregon offered, kind of growing in its status, and had a chance to come in and build a good reputation and had a great run with that restaurant.
So being the geeky researcher that I am, I actually ran across a menu from your restaurant. I thought it looked pretty cool. Some really unique things. What did you specialize in?
Well, trying to take the flavors and the bounty that comes out of our area. So Medford, the Rogue Valley, even up here, there's so many artisan growers. And back then there was there's everything from niche coffee roasters to incredible bakers. So I had this bounty to be able to kind of tie what I wanted to do, which was fuse those new ingredients into things that I liked cooking. And Oregon has such an incredible opportunity to be really very much what I saw in Napa, that same idea. You have a great interest in people that have a commitment to what they're doing, and you have great quality products, and you can't go wrong if you have that to cook with.
Wow, pretty cool. Now, I'm curious how you got involved in this work with FEMA during the pandemic.
So I was with a company in D.C., Washington, D.C. We did food consulting for large-scale industrial operations. COVID hit, and just like any restaurant or any food industry, it would hit everybody hard. And so all of our clients basically were starting to slow down and having to change their pace. So I was able to pivot into an emergency need, which was through a couple of contacts I had in the FEMA industry. And they were looking for, this is a brand new world COVID brought onto us, right? So they were looking for somebody that could come in and kind of develop a new feeding program. And we didn't know what we were doing. They didn't know what they needed. So it seemed like a perfect fit. Took me down to Louisiana, and 30 days later, we were producing about 20,000 meals a day, kitted meals that went out to families that were locked down and were not able to get out and had no other way to get access to foods. So that just led from that success led to the next one, and it just sort of dominoed out till 2 years. That was pretty much my life.
Wow. And that was a fascinating, though not fascinating in a good way, because it was is a pandemic, but just realizing how many things could be done differently. I mean, it really forced people in every part of life, including food distribution, to rethink things.
Oh, absolutely. It's it continues to do that. And we talk about the pre-COVID and post-COVID, what this eventuality will be, how things will play out, how the food industry itself is actually going to be able to settle into some whatever that new process is going to be. It seems to be evolving every year, and every time I thought that we were coming kind of closer to the light at that end of that tunnel, it seemed to get pushed back a little bit further. So now, if you're in a small business in the food world, you are always looking at new ways to kind of reach out to new customers, and opens up opportunities, but it is a challenge that everybody must really dig into.
We're going to take a break, talk more about Fish of Roseburg when we come back. David Graham, the new executive director, Nis Jessen, the board president, with us as well. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. And later, KQEN Local Talk at 4, Peter Greenberg, Eye on Travel. Tomorrow, we talk to the Executive Director of Greater Douglas United Way, Brian Trinkle. Our focus today, the Fish Food Pantry. David Graham, the new Executive Director, Nis Jessen, the Board President. David, when you look at this work, and we were just talking before the break about all the things you were started doing during the pandemic, the shift during COVID and the need to have the packaged meals for folks that were in quarantine and couldn't be out and all that really changed a lot of things. And going forward, it seems like there's so many more options out there about how you get food from point A to B.
Well, there is, and it's actually, I think it also changes part of the structure and character of our, all the charity networks and work that we're doing as well. Part of what I've seen is been there's a shift into more people that either have, as Nis had mentioned, that have a short-term emergency need versus those that might be chronically in trouble and have longer-term priorities. And our niche, our area that Fish focuses on, is exactly that. It sort of bridges those people that have an emergency, an issue that comes up, something that takes them down for a couple of days to a couple of weeks. Then we have that capability, to kind of bring forward food, bring forward services that sort of help them through that time. And more and more, you know, as jobs shift, as businesses take hits from COVID or other issues that come up, there are people of all walks of life that feel that impact and feel that hurt. So part of what I see us doing is being able to fill that need.
So Nis, during the height of things in 2020 and ever since then, you had to make some shifts just in how you got food literally out the door.
Yes, it seemed like we were adapting almost daily. Thankfully, we have a wonderful board with lots of experience, and we relied heavily on everybody's input to make it. We, instead of letting the client shop in the pantry, they are required to stay outside, and we'll fill a box for them. We have adapted that even further. One of the beauties of them shopping inside is that they get to pick exactly what they need from all these little kiosks. Since we can't do that quite yet, we have got a sheet of paper that we hand them as they check in, and they can sign off on that, so they get more of what they want rather than what we just pick for them. Then they get the box at the door. We'd love to be able to open back up and let them shop inside, and we will do that at the earliest convenience that we can, that we can feel safe with our volunteers. So,
how many volunteers does Fish have?
The ones that do the day-to-day operation is around 75. That flexes up and down. But if you add in the people of the Roseburg Food Project, also known as the Green Bag Project, we involve about 800 between donors and volunteers. It is an awesome thing that it has grown into, and we so appreciate the community support.
Yeah, talk about the Green Bag Project a little bit more. Maybe explain exactly what that is.
We try to make it as simple as we can. You reach out to us through Facebook or call us on our answering machine, call us direct. When you do that, we'll hook you up with a neighborhood. They will give you a bag or two, and we just ask that you, every time you go to the grocery store, buy a can or two of non-perishable items and put them in that bag so you don't even hardly notice that you're giving. On the second Saturday of the even months, we will come around, someone will come around and pick that bag up and leave you another empty one. And that has worked extremely well. We are actually coming up in August of 10 years that we've been doing that. In that period of time, we have raised over 600,000 pounds from the community, and we are so blessed to have that help us out through this.
And, I mean, basically, you've got kind of an automatic plan that you know about what you're going to get over that period of time without having to go out and do a special drive somewhere or something like that.
Yes, that is really nice. It was slow getting started many years ago, but now it averages 10, 11,000 pounds. Pre-COVID, that would last us about 10 days. It lasts longer now that we're going through the COVID thing because some people are afraid to come. But we're trying to keep as safe as we can for the clients and our volunteers.
So, David, what was your thought when you heard about this food project?
Well, you know, you had just mentioned about some of these changes that take place and how to kind of how the food pipeline works. And I think the Roseburg Food Project, the green bags, are an incredible asset for all of us. Not only is it involve the community in a very positive way, in a very simple way, because it is as Niz had mentioned, it is simply taking one extra item at a shopping trip, and you fill that bag over the course of 2 months, put it out on your doorstep, and it is taken away and then is able to be distributed out to those in need. It is a fabulous opportunity to be able to be involved with the community, to contribute something more substantial. I think it gives people even a better feeling. You know, you could write a check, you can send us money, that certainly helps, but when you physically take some product, something you picked out, put it into that bag, take that bag out to and find out that it's serving that one bag that you filled out over 2 months is going to feed some family for 8 to 10 days. That's an enormously positive feeling, and I think a very positive message that comes out from the community. So, yes, I'm just thrilled with it. I think it's a fabulous way to go. It has helped the Fish Project and itself in being able to continue to sustain our growth, but it is far more about that community effort. It has tied us very closely to so many people in Roseburg.
So, Niz, how is Fish funded?
It is primarily donations and some grants. We get a small amount of federal funds for shelter and emergency food, but that is a very small part. We are just blessed to have a community that believes in taking care of one of the most basic needs that there is, and that's food. And we're doing our best to make that happen for them. So,
and if people want to get involved at some level, what's a good way to get connected with you guys?
There's a phone number. You can go to fishofroseburg.org website. You can call us direct. We're in the phone book. And we'll get you hooked up if you want to volunteer to be one of the daily ones, or sometimes we need help with pickups to bring food down from feeding Umpqua down to us. Just however they want to get involved, we're always looking for volunteers, because some people will move away or they'll age out. So we're always looking for new people. So.
All right, out of time. David Graham, Niz Jessen from Fish, thanks for coming in, guys.
Yeah, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
1257 and News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.